Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon with the Metaphysical Hour, and this is March the 25th, mm-hmm. and we're live tonight.
Yeah, they because said, it's March the 25th.
Yeah. They said to give that date, and that way you'll know it's a live show. And Julia's here again, so we've got a lot of things to talk about. But I do want to say we are open to callers tonight because this is going to be our last live show for a month. Mm-hmm. So the other ones will be taken out of the archives. We're going to be on the road again. So let me give out the toll-free number in case anybody does want to call in tonight. It's 1-888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. Now, this next Friday, we're going to be doing our class in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And it's really getting to be a big class. But
it's almost full.
But if anybody full. Still wants to come, to contact our website and see if you can get in. Mm-hmm. I think this is the only one we're going to have in Arkansas.
Right, right.
We're going to have a lot of classes in July that will be all over the United States. But this is the only one in Arkansas, and
yeah,
it is getting to be a big one this year.
Yes, uh-huh.
It's getting to be a big one. So if you contact our website, I guess it's easier just to say DoloresCannon.com.
That's the one it's on.
Okay. I thought maybe it was on the
publishing. No, they're separated now.
They are.
Yes, uh-huh.
So it's Dolores Cannon, DoloresCannon. .com, and on there you see my schedule of events, and everything is on that website. But this next week we start Friday. Next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday will be a class in Rogers, Arkansas at the John Q. Hammonds. No, it's not that one.
We don't give out the location until they register.
Okay.
You don't know the rules.
No, I don't, because that's not my part that
right.
I take care of.
Because then people might just show up and we don't have materials for them. We need to know that they're coming. We need to have them registered.
Yeah, because we do give out materials. So if anybody's interested, check on the website, and there is the number there, the 800 number, to get a hold of the office and find out more about the class. That's next Friday. And, boy, we are going to be running. I don't even know if we're going to know where we are because...
I think we will.
I don't know.
I think we will. There's no mistaking this place.
Well, the class is over on Sunday night, and then Monday, I don't even get any downtime. Monday, we leave immediately for Russia.
You get downtime on the plane.
That's what she says.
Well, you can sleep on the plane.
Not very well. Anyway.
Better than I do.
But anyway, usually we were hoping to get a day off in between to at least rest and get our suitcase packed. But we were hoping to go to Moscow in May, but they said in May they're having their national holidays, so it would not be a good time
right.
to have students. So the only time we could squeeze it in is just this 1 week, and it's going to be really hectic going immediately from the class in Arkansas to Moscow. And we'll be there for over a week. A 3-day class in Moscow turns into 5 days because of the translation. It always makes it take longer. That makes it more tedious because it's more time-consuming. But I've looked on the weather site on the computer, and it's snowing and still cold in Russia, so...
we'll appreciate when we come back.
So. Anyway, we'll be there for the next week. Then after that, we'll be home, I think, 2 days from Russia, and I go to the conference. It's a Coptic conference, and that's in Bristol, Virginia, isn't
right.
it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They said just over the border from Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And all the information about that conference is on our website also. I'm going to be... one of the speakers at that conference, the
right.
Coptic conference.
Yeah, I think you speak on Sunday morning. That one.
Mm-hmm. That's the third Friday. That weekend is
right.
when we'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
So the weekend after that will be our next live show, which will be April the 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have after that I've got the conference in Albuquerque.
Right.
That's the
Wake Up Now.
Wake Up Now conference mm-hmm. in Albuquerque. And the proceeds of that conference is going, they're building a school there for these new children, the new children of the world. So anyway, the whole month of April is going to be gone before we know it. Time evaporates around here. It goes very fast. So that's our schedule for April anyway. The whole month is off. We won't be on the air just one week.
Uh-huh.
1 week. Uh-huh. Okay, so I want to make that clear. So tonight is a live show if anyone wants to call in.
Right, but you had a lot of emails that you were wanting to address that people have been sending in questions. So that's
what we're going to cover tonight, is there are a lot of people asking questions, and we get lots of emails, and sometimes they'll ask a question and they'll say, can you answer it on the show? So we thought maybe they'd be interesting to many people anyway, so we're going to go off and expand on some of these topics. Some of them I think we've covered before, but apparently if they ask the question, maybe we haven't covered it thoroughly enough.
Exactly.
But this one is interesting. He says he downloads our shows onto a cellular phone and listens to them on the way to work.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know you could do that.
Oh, the phones can do all kinds of things. They're not just for calling people.
Mine is. I still have my dinosaur phone, as she calls it, because it's a real old one. I never have it on. It's just a phone. Doesn't do anything else.
It does do other things. You just don't know how to do it.
It's so old, though.
No, it does them. You just don't know how to do them.
I never have it on. It's just in my purse in case of an emergency. That's all I use that phone for. It's not for taking pictures. It's not for videoing. It's not for texting or none of that. It's just a phone. What a phone was invented for. That's what mine is. Okay. But this man says he downloads our shows onto his cellular phone and listens on the way to work. So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now here's one of his questions, and I think we've answered part of this before. He wanted to know if I have ever been put into deep hypnotic trance, I guess using my method, the somnambulistic state. I've not had anyone put me into that state with my method, because I developed it later.
Right.
But in the very beginning, when I was learning how to do all of this and I was exploring, I had a very dear friend who was a hypnotist, and she used to put me under. And then I used to have other people putting me into the trance so that I would know what it felt like. Mm-hmm. Then I knew what not to do when I developed my technique. But those were all the lighter levels, but still I was able to find out about a lot of my past lives. So I know about 8 of my past lives. I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. I know my connections with my family. I know everything that I think I need to know. You know, after a while, you don't really need to do this anymore. The past life regression work is really just a tool that we use it in our work to help people. But there are what you call past life junkies out there.
Right, right.
Like there is in every metaphysical field, that they just want to have more and more. Mm-hmm. But they soon realize, hopefully, that they don't need that.
Well, I think some of it is, part of it's an escape. And I'm sorry if I'm stepping on any toes, but it's sometimes, you know, maybe this life, you're just not, it's not what you're hoping it would be, or it's not as fun or something, whatever. So it's like, well, maybe it was more exciting somewhere else or some other time. So it's like, okay, that's where they want to go.
Mm-hmm. They're not happy with this
right life. Your focus. Now, you know, we can go into all the simultaneous time and all that, and you're really living them all right now anyway. But your focus, this conscious focus, is on this life right now for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
That is the one you chose to be looking at. So that's where you need to have your attention.
But the besides, when I do the past lives in my class, even I'm telling them the majority of mm-hmm. them, the vast majority of them, over 90% are dull, boring, very mundane, very simple past lives.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If people think they're going to do it and get exciting things, it mm-hmm. doesn't happen. You get them once in a while, and I do get some, and those are the ones I write about. But it's just like nowadays, even in our time, how many of you out there get your names in the headlines in the newspaper or get on the evening news? Those are the rare people. The majority of us just go to work every day and do our job and have our families. There's nothing exciting, really, about our lives. Probably more exciting than it was way back
right.
in...
Right, the routine is a little more exciting than the routine was back then. So.
Yeah, when you were living out in the prairie in a log cabin or something.
Right.
But the vast majority of people, when I take them into a past lives, they get what I call digging potatoes lives. In other words, they're not anything but a farmer out in the field with nothing exciting going on. But there's always something in that lifetime that they needed to know to explain some things in this lifetime.
Right.
And that's why the subconscious mm-hmm. chose that for them to see.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't always have to be exciting. It's just ordinary life.
And that's the benefit of past life regression. But, you know, but then once you get your information... It's, that's what we're saying, the junky part of it, you know, as far as you keep going back and keep going back, it's like the subconscious picked what you needed to see, you know, so one or two is good for a while, you know, because
yeah.
it's giving you the information you need. So
yeah, because you can overdo anything,
mm-hmm.
and that's where a lot of people go off the deep end. They get too involved in certain metaphysical things to where they're no longer a benefit to them. It is a form of escape. So one or a few of them is okay, but I certainly wouldn't want to keep mm-hmm. doing it again and again and again. So I found what I needed to know in my past lives, and so I don't need to do it anymore.
Right.
And that's where you should be. You should be focusing on now. The subconscious even said if you're focusing too much on past lives, you're living in the past.
Exactly, yeah.
And you don't want to go backwards. You want to go forward. Take the information and use it to move forward, but don't think that was a better time back mm-hmm. then, so you want to live there. Use the information to help you now.
Right.
But the other part in that in this email, he wanted to know if you could use this for self-hypnosis, so you could put yourself in a state to contact them directly.
Okay.
You can use self-hypnosis, and you can get past lives that way. You can get a lot with meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do it because, like I said, I don't really need it.
Mm-hmm.
But we have learned to talk to them directly and to listen to them. And I think Julia can tell you better about how to do that. I don't know. It's not self-hypnosis, though, is it?
I guess it could be, because it's really
meditation.
Just putting yourself into a trance, a light, into a state of relaxation, which meditation can do that. And then it's talking to that part of yourself, you know, this is the bigger part of you, you know, the big me, the little me, and we can explain that further if we need to. But you have that other part of you, which is the part that you're talking to when you have them in hypnosis.
In the,
mm-hmm.
the subconscious,
sessions, yeah. Right. And so now, like you said, you're not going to go as deep because you're consciously there and going back and forth. And actually, you probably do go deep at some point. Because like when I do it at night before I go to bed, okay? At
Talk
some point,
them.
I fall asleep. So
uh-huh.
that's probably when I go deep. You know? Well, see, that's the only thing about this method is you're so deep. You know, if you were to actually be able to use this method for yourself to go that deep, see, you can't ask yourself, like you said, that's the dilemma. You can't ask yourself the questions. You can't remember because you're so deep. You do go very, very deep. Now, but to remember and everything, you've got to keep yourself into a lighter state. And that's really what self-hypnosis is. You're just keeping in a lighter state. And you can develop it that way, too, because you're talking to that part of yourself. And that's just creating that connection stronger and stronger. So, see, it's like a thin line here of... where, you know, where one begins and the other ends and things like that as to what it's self-hypnosis or meditation or just connecting to your higher self or see, it's all kind of starting to step over each other and combine. So.
Well, you know, people in my class are always asking me, can I do this to myself? Well, that's the problem is how are you going to go deep enough to ask yourself the questions and then get the answers? Well, one of them said I could tape record my
right.
questions.
Right.
Yeah, but then how are you going to tape record your answers?
Right.
Because when you go into this level that I use, you essentially do fall asleep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's always better if you can have someone else asking you the questions. But meditative state, you can find out about past lives. You can ask them questions,
mm-hmm.
and
Absolutely.
You get answers.
Yeah.
I always say when you ask a question, listen, and the first thing that comes into your mind is them answering.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about, well, I'm making it up. Probably not true, or it's just me talking. Except the first answer that comes into your mind.
Well, and I'm being told, be open to how it comes. You might hear it. You might see it. You might feel it. Be open. Don't put a box around what you think it's supposed to look like or how it's supposed to be. You might be a visual person, and you will see something. It's like, well, I'm seeing this. I'm not hearing anything, but I'm seeing this whole scene unfold. Ah, guess what? It's the same thing. Or I get this feeling. I feel whatever. Then you're a sensual person. That's okay. It doesn't matter. The thing is you're making that connection. And then the other parts will come in eventually. The thing is to acknowledge that you've made that connection and trust whatever it is that came through.
Because it's the old goofy conscious mind that's always saying, oh, you're making this up.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to it. When there is something there, you just got to learn to trust it,
mm-hmm.
and then it does become stronger.
Absolutely.
But going along with this, back in the winter, you know, we had some correspondence on the flu. When the flu was going around,
right.
everybody was worried about getting sick. Now it's allergies.
Yeah.
Okay. But on our with my class, we do have a website where all of my students can interact with each other. When somebody takes my class, I don't leave them out there all alone. We have a, what do you want to call it, like a
Yahoo group.
It's like a chat room. It's a support group. That'd be better, wouldn't it?
Okay.
If the person is having problems or they want to share their experiences, they go into this group and they can communicate with each other. And then we read them, and if we have any comments, we jump in. So it's really good because it is a support group. Well, when I'm doing my class, we talk about, you know, the cause of illnesses and things like that and how you can heal them and the people we work with, it's instant. But also you learn how to do it to yourself. So here, again, we're going back to being able to communicate with yourself.
Exactly.
And it's important for you to know that within your body is an entire universe. You have an entire universe within your body. This is all these little entities that compose the heart, the cells, the liver, the kidneys, all of it. It's a functioning living organism within you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why whenever the body gets out of kilter and something goes wrong with it, you can communicate with your body. You can talk to the cells in your body. And boy, your body loves it because most of the time, it's going on about its business, and nobody's paying any attention to it. It's doing the best it can. But if you pay attention to it and talk to your body, it really does love it. Because when you communicate with your body and you can talk to the cells, you can talk to the organs, you are the voice of God to your body. Because you are the one who is controlling your own body. We just don't realize it.
Right. You're the one communicating to it.
No, we just think, well, it's just there, and the only one that knows how to fix anything or knows anything about the body is the doctor.
Right.
Who knows it better than you yourself? Because you are the God of your own universe.
Your body. You know your body.
And you can communicate with the cells in that body. Now, we have published three books by Dr. Bonnet that are excellent, and they explore this in detail, tell you how to do it. He was a doctor 45 years, and he was even a supervisor of a hospital out in New Mexico. He found that you could talk to the cells of your body, and it would listen to you, and it would heal much, much faster. He tried to introduce this into the hospital where he was the supervisor of. Of course, they didn't understand it, and they didn't want to part any part of it. So he had to wait till he retired to write these books. But it is the idea of speaking to the cells in your body. One way, too, is to talk to it every day and say, I love you, body. You're doing a wonderful job. I really do appreciate you. I love you, heart. I know the hard work you have to do. I love you, liver. I love you, kidney. You acknowledge it, and you'd be amazed how fast the body can respond.
Right, responds to that, and also, yeah, I am strong. I am, you know,
healthy.
I have a strong body. I have a healthy body. I have a, you know, it's going to do whatever it is you want it to do.
Because you remember, so, it's like a computer. You program them.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend. Well, he works at the airport. We're in and out of the airport all the time, so you get to know all the people working there. And this man has had problems with his hips. He's not that old either. He's only like 40, 50. Problems with his hips, and he's in a lot of pain all the time. Now, we know in my work, anything to do with the hips means you're not doing what you want, really want to do. You're not going in the right direction. You're holding back.
Right.
So I was talking to him. We were going through the checkout lines and all of that, and I said, well, how are you doing today? He says, oh, you know, my body's a horrible mess. He said, my hips and everything. I said, did you ever think about talking to your body?
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh, yeah, every morning when I get up, I cuss it out.
Yeah.
That's not the kind of talking that I'm thinking of.
I mean, you're
of.
Going to get, that's why he's getting what he's getting. I mean, it's responding.
It's giving him what he expects to get.
Exactly.
That's not the kind of a communication I was thinking about. Anyway.
Well, it is communication, though. At least he is communicating.
But, you know, I don't want to push too much too soon on your average person. But that's the idea. You can speak to your body, and it loves for you to acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
And as Julia said, I say that every day.
Mm-hmm.
We, you always say we because you are a...
A collective. Mm-hmm.
The other word I was thinking.
Oh, okay.
Conglomerate.
Collective
is the easier word to say. Because all the cells in the body and the universe that's within you is all working together.
Mm-hmm.
And so every day I always say that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a healthy body. We have a strong body. We have a healthy body. We have a strong body. And believe me, it does listen to you.
Yeah, it does.
And because I don't get sick, especially too when you're doing what you really love to do, this is what Julie found in one of your works. What was it? It said,
oh, it was a beautiful way it said it. When you are doing what you really love to do. The side effect of doing what you really love to do is perfect health.
Yep. And I think that's beautiful. The side effect of doing what you really love to do is perfect health. You find your passion.
Doing what you really want to do, yeah.
You find your passion, and then you'll be healthy.
Right. You can't help it. Yes, there was a call.
There is a call?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's take the call, and then I'll get back to what this one of our students found by using this approach. Yeah, somebody's there. Go ahead.
Hi, Dolores. My name is Tori. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're a little soft, but go ahead.
Okay, you said Tori?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, Tori.
Okay. My question is, I just discovered you also, your books, and I love it, and it's great. I went to the dentist, and he found on my tooth three triangles on my tooth. And he was very shocked, and he contained himself. But I got a picture of it, and I wanted to know if some of your clients or the sessions that you do they find things like this on their body, like triangles?
Oh, definitely. I'm writing about it in my new book. Yeah, this
okay.
is very
is
common.
Is that a sign like of somebody who's had contact then with extraterrestrials? Is that a possibility?
It's definitely a possibility, but it's a good sign. Now, you said they're on your body?
On her teeth.
On her teeth.
Mm-hmm.
You
say they're
three on my filling, and then there's one on my tooth, you know, the enamel. They're very, very, you know, when you see them, it's shocking. I was really shocked when I saw them. So was the dentist. And I said, wow, how am I ever going to find out what this means? I wasn't afraid. I didn't think anything negative. I only thought it was positive. And my whole life I've been dreaming about UFOs.
I'll tell you what
it means.
Never
understood what it was, and I have seen, you know, I have seen UFOs, but I never thought anything about it. I didn't think, anything.
I'll tell you what it means. It's in the new book, but I've had so many of these cases, so I've asked the question over many years. See, in the book, you know, I have the other books about UFO things, and but now I'm getting so much more information that I'm putting it in the new book. Okay, you know, at night, you are taken on board the craft, and there are things done to the body, but it's all positive because your body is being checked out to make sure it's healthy, and if it needs any adjustments, they just go ahead and do it. And it's because you're under contract with them. They will watch you, and they'll make sure you're healthy. One of the people who have asked me about this, and we were in the sessions, we brought it up, why would they wake up with triangle marks on their skin? They said it's just some of the machines that they use when they're working on the body. They adjust the body and bring it into health, and there's a whole lot of things that they do, but some of the machines they use do make marks on the body. But it doesn't harm anything because usually the marks will go away. But I haven't heard any on the teeth, but it could go along with the same thing.
Right, unless it's implants, and they're using not triangles, though, are they?
And they're usually not in the teeth.
Right. I was saying, if they were, what would they be trying? What information are they trying to get there? You know,
unless they're checking her teeth out.
Well, maybe.
But usually, it's... I wouldn't put anything past
free dental service.
Well, actually, you know, I used to be a dental assistant, so I know what it takes to put that in there, and it's really, really difficult.
Well, but now, are your fillings mercury?
Yes.
Because you know a lot
of
people...
No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what they are. I think they're a mixture. They're not full mercury. They're always a mixture.
Because I have a lot of clients who have been having the mercury fillings removed, you know, because they're that scare about the mercury.
Right.
I was thinking maybe it's something to do with that. Who's to say?
But there's also one on my enamel. So that's, at first I thought it was, it's a flux. But then when I saw one on my enamel, I go, okay, there's something here.
Yeah, that's a little different.
Yeah.
But believe me, everything I've found with the work the ETs do is positive. It's nothing negative. They
I know. My dreams of them have always been positive, but I never think anything about it because I don't know. I've never been hypnotized. This is another question that I have real quickly. Will you ever come to the New York area by any chance?
Well, we're gonna be in Boston in June. That's probably as close as we're and Front Royal, Virginia. That's as close as we're getting to New York this year.
I have been to New York. I've been to New York many, many times. I've given lots of lectures and classes up there.
Okay, maybe next year I'll catch you.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Is Boston too far away?
Yeah, that's about a good 4 hours, right? Well,
I know these people in these big cities. That's a long ways to them.
I love your books. I'm learning so much, and it is. And you're right. It is positive. I've only had positive experiences. If it's true, I mean, I can't. I don't have any proof.
Tori, I'm being told to tell you to ask them yourself what it's for.
Okay,
and you will get the answer exactly why it's that, you know, in that position and everything, you know, right where it is. But I'm being told that you can just ask them and they'll tell you.
Thank you so much.
But normally the triangles on the body have to do with machines that they use, and they are just keeping track of you and making sure you're healthy. And even to see a UFO, you don't have to have an abduction just to see it. They're transferring information into the cellular level of your brain. And it's information that you'll need down the road. So there's a lot more going on than you think there is.
Anyway, but cool. Maybe we'll get some more information on that. Thank you, Tori. Yeah.
I guess she's hung up.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Well, I want to get back to this about how we were telling my students you could talk to your body and heal your body this way because the body loves for you to talk to it.
Mm-hmm.
So my students on the Yahoo group we have, they said they tried it this winter. And I've been trying to get this on the air, but we always run out of time. Okay, this is what one of them said. It said, curing myself of the flu using Dolores' technique. And this is by yourself. She didn't have to have somebody put her under.
Right.
She just did it herself.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she said, every winter I seem to come down with a bad flu or a cold. the same symptoms, and she lists all the yucky, yucky symptoms that we get when we're getting that, and it lasts for a minimum of 3 weeks. And she said, this weekend, we returned from Oregon, and I felt the symptoms coming on strong, so I decided I'm not going to get it this year, so I'm going to see if I could prevent the flu from overtaking my body. And this is what she said, and I think it's very neat. She says, attention, bacteria and viruses in my body, this is God speaking to you. And I want to let you know how much you are loved and how grateful I am for the presence, your presence, to teach me how to heal myself. Mm-hmm. She's talking to the viruses, yeah, and the bacteria.
Where she's embracing.
Yes, embracing rather than rejecting.
Exactly.
And like the other man cussing it out.
Right, yeah, embrace the situation.
Uh-huh. She said, attention, bacteria and viruses in my body. This is God speaking to you. And I want to let you know how much you are loved and how grateful I am for your presence to teach me how to heal myself. You have done your job, and I'm now going to release you with much love and thanks and gratitude. You may now travel to the light to continue your journey with much love and much thanks. I then imagined and saw them as tiny specks of color traveling out of my body and moving towards and exiting through a golden white light doorway. I repeated this twice, and then several times throughout the day for the next couple of days. It truly worked. And other than cold feet, I felt wonderful. Did not develop any other symptoms. But she said, I wanted to let you know you can do this, and it works, and to try it for yourself. Mm-hmm. But that does go along with that, because it is embracing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Remember, whatever we resist persist. So if you're pushing it away, it's just going to, because you're acknowledging it even more. I mean, you're creating this battle. But if you embrace it, and you're thanking, okay, yeah, thank you.
You came for a reason to teach mm-hmm. me that I can
right.
heal my body myself.
Exactly.
So I'm acknowledging that and I'm thanking you.
Right.
So now you've done your job, I understand it, so you can leave.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because it reminds me of that woman, I don't remember what country or what city it was in, who came up to us in the wheelchair
mm-hmm.
and had the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about forgiveness and letting
right.
go
mm-hmm.
and the causes of cancer and all of that. And she said she didn't have anger
mm-hmm.
anymore
yeah,
about
sure.
the people who was in her
right.
life that she knew caused it. But what was it she said she turned it into an entity?
No, oh, that's what I picked up.
Okay,
yeah,
what is that?
She said, I forgave everybody. I'm not angry anymore. And so
it should be gone.
Right. And it was like that didn't make any sense. So I was tapping in to it, and I saw that she had created a little, it was a little entity. I mean, it presented itself to me. It
but
was
that's
a little,
the only way it could get through to you to
right.
describe
it
what
was it a,
was.
It was a little blue entity. I mean, it was this little thing.
And my name is Cancer.
Right. It was like 3.5, maybe 4 foot tall. And it was just this little entity, and it was just, but she had created it out of her anger. It was her anger created this entity.
Mm-hmm.
So, see,
and
it was
given it even more life
yeah,
in that way.
Absolutely. It created a life all its own. And so
And it was consuming her body.
Yeah, absolutely, because it had done that. And so then what I was being told, because now it's even more, I mean, it's the same thing of embracing it. Well, now you had something to actually embrace. There's this little body, you know. And it was showing me that if she would just hug it and love it, that it would actually just disappear. Yeah, just symbolically just love it. Well, that's an embracing thing again. Thank it for what it came to show her. And that's why she said that she had learned so much from it. She learned how to heal others, and she had learned how to heal herself, work on herself. And so it's like things like that.
And she'd learned
and
what
so,
it caused it.
Right. And so in that way, it taught her so much. So that was the part of embracing, was thanking it and loving it. And that's what it kept saying. My higher self was saying, love it to death. Just love it, love it, love it, and you will love it to death. And I just kept seeing it would just completely dissipate and just be gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, she actually created an entity out of her anger.
Mm-hmm.
So.
She gave it life.
Yes, absolutely.
That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Although
yeah.
we know the cancer is caused by suppressed anger,
yeah.
You have to forgive the people responsible, mm-hmm. figure out who they are and forgive them and let them go.
Right, but she
thought
another,
she had done
well,
it.
Well, and there's another side to it. You know, it's the forgiving and letting go, but understanding where did it come from and, I mean, the whole thing and embracing the anger and embracing all those emotions because a lot of times we don't want to face those emotions. Those are ugly emotions and they scare us. And so it's about looking at them. I mean, it created itself in a way so that she had to look at it, you know. So
Yeah. Okay, then this was somebody who answered the other student about how she had healed the flu, you know, kept it from manifesting in her body. This was one of the other students answered. And she said, very good job. You can also do this when releasing the cold sore virus. This is what she did, this student did. As soon as you feel the tingling, do the same as you mentioned below. I usually go inside and meet them all, with all the viruses and bacteria.
Right. Yeah, wow, they got really close. They get to see God.
It's like you don't think about that, but you can get a very close association with your own body.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish this before we get to you, caller. Let me finish this sentence here. Okay. She said, I usually go inside and meet them all. You can do this with everything, even cancer. I have also helped others to put their cancer in remission. The entity cancer will even speak to you.
Yeah.
regarding why he is there and what the person has to do to release him from the person's energy. The same thing you were saying,
yeah.
Love it to death. And it says, when you do this, just fill yourself as full of unconditional love as possible. He, the entity cancer, might sound angry, but speak to him in a loving tone and really feel the universal love. It's the whole universe inside these forms, with many other forms living within as well. In the future, in the near future, at that, we humans, meaning spiritual beings encased in fleshy biological suits, really have to get to know our neighbors inside. Live in harmony, become as one with inside and outside.
Yeah, there's so much more to us than we have ever imagined.
And she said, I'm happy to hear others are realizing this. Experiment on other things inside you now.
Yeah.
Gain experience and teach others to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's the way.
Right.
And that really, I like that because it shows my students are finally getting it and they're going off in their own direction and finding their own answers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, this entity is an angry entity.
Well, because it's composed of anger.
Yeah, we have to find out
why. Of course
it's
angry.
What are
you
angry about? And,
exactly.
Then you love it to death.
Right, and you can talk to it. Yeah, what is going on? If you haven't been able to figure it out yourself, it will tell you. Yeah.
So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I think people have never thought about that. It's always, oh, poor me, the victim.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got a caller there. Okay, thanks for waiting. Who's there?
Is it me?
Yes.
Barely hear you.
This is Lance from Wyoming. Can you hear
Lance?
Me now?
Hi, Lance.
Hey, I'm kind of confused here. They say the ETs aren't allowed to intervene with us, I don't know, for lack of a better word, but then you do have some people that are abducted or whatever. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I kind of don't understand this. Is there any insight you may have for me?
Yes.
Okay, we can explain it very easily. They never interfere with you unless you have agreed to it. You make a contract before you come into the earth. When you're coming to the earth, you make a plan, what you're going to hopefully achieve this time around. This means if you are to be involved with the ETs in their work, you will also make a contract with them to help them in any way you can, because they say they are not allowed to do anything to a person without their permission. So they said anything that is happening, if you're being so-called abducted. They don't like that word.
Yeah.
But you're being visited, abducted, taken care of, having your body healed. It's because you have agreed to work with them. And they're naturally going to take care of those that are their own people, the ones who have agreed to come down to this crazy planet. They have to watch them, adjust their energy, make sure they're healthy, and keep them healthy so they can do the job they came to do. But it's always with an agreement. And a lot of the abduction stories you hear, they make them sound negative because they don't really understand what's happening.
Right.
And that's what I've written about, is what's really happening, that their human mind doesn't understand it.
Right.
Does that make more sense?
Oh, yeah, that cleared it up for me. Thank you. Yeah.
Wonderful.
I've had dreams and stuff, and I've never had any negative things with them, you know. But
right.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
that was great. I appreciate
Wonderful.
That, and I really appreciate that healing thing you just got done speaking about. That's really, really something. It's quite amazing. I'm going to pass that on to everybody I know.
It's amazing that we don't realize we're doing this to ourselves. We always
Well, that's the exciting thing about now is we're becoming very conscious of it. You know, we've been doing this all along. We've just been totally unconscious of it. Now we're becoming conscious, and we're becoming aware of just all the wonderful things we can do. You know, I mean, we're just barely scratching the surface of understanding what can happen.
Yeah.
So,
you said they showed you were just barely cracking the door open.
Oh, barely. Barely.
But the mind is so powerful. Look what we can do. You can heal yourself once you understand these principles.
So, okay. Well, thank you for calling, Lance.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I'm really enjoying the show. Thanks, you guys.
Oh, okay.
Bye.
Thank you.
Okay. What was next?
But that, I think, is a biggie, because
mm-hmm.
and I'm amazed that, you know, I give the class, I never know if they're getting it or not.
Right.
But it shows it is going in, and they're discovering more things than I could ever think of.
Well, that exactly. But that's what it's all about. You plant the seed, and then
somebody
take
else,
it. You know?
Somebody else mm-hmm. takes it and runs
right.
with it.
Right.
Because that's I always said, what greater satisfaction could a teacher have than to have her students take what they've been taught
mm-hmm.
and do more.
Right.
More than I ever dreamed possible.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's
mm-hmm.
what we're hearing now from the
yes.
ones that are taking the class all over the world. They're
right.
doing things I would never even mm-hmm. thought of.
Yeah, they're thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
That's what it's all about. Start thinking outside the box. Yeah, talk to your body. It loves to hear
mm-hmm.
from you. Hey, somebody's noticing me. I'm not
right.
just toiling away in here by myself.
I had someone the other day. I was at bowling, and one of the women that was bowling with us, and she's a little older. Anyway, she made a comment because I was showing something I had just done that day when I was working out. It was something I never thought. I'd never been able to do it, and I was always afraid to try it.
Working out.
Yeah, and then I did it, and it was, like, amazing me that I was able to do it, and so I was saying something about it. Well, anyway, she tried to do it. She's like, oh, I can't do that. My knees are so bad. My knees, she's just completely degrading her body. And I said, not me. My knees keep getting better and better and better. And she looked at me, and she's like, well, how do you do that? And I said, well, one, I tell them that.
Uh-huh.
So the other is I'm working out. I'm strengthening them. But mainly, I'm telling them all the time how wonderful they are, and they're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And they are. I have much stronger knees now than I did 10, even 20 years ago.
Well, you do a lot with the gym.
Yes. But and a lot with I tell myself I can do this. And my body is getting younger. So,
well, I know mine is.
Yep.
You didn't say I need to walk more, but
yes.
that's because a lot of my work is done sitting down. But
mm-hmm.
still, like you said a while ago, you get do what you love, your
yes.
passion,
mm-hmm.
the side effect is perfect health.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Just learn to identify with whatever is in your body and see what your body's trying to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
It's always trying to tell you something. Your body never lies.
Right.
Your body should always be healthy.
Right.
And if there's anything out of kilter, it's mm-hmm. trying to give you a message.
Right, because the body itself is a miraculous machine, well-oiled machine. It knows what it's doing. I mean, it was created to work perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just these other things when we need the messages. That's what's coming through. So.
And if we don't listen, it gets a little worse and a little worse until finally they got to hit you over the head. But they said nobody is ever beyond the state of repair or return.
Right. Something else in that History of God book, I keep working on that.
Okay, she wears another book for publishing, and she's been formatting it to go to the printer. It's called The History of God.
Right. Well, another thing he said in there was talking about how we don't have to age, and we can actually get younger. And so that's what I'm programming now. But it was saying because we don't. You know, it's an expectation. From the day we're born, we're expected to get older and everything wears out. Da, da, da. But it's not designed that way. We don't have to do that. I vote for that one.
That's what Dr. Von Neff
said.
That's
right.
That we're programmed and we see everybody around us getting old. And we said, well, I'm the same age, so I'm supposed to be old too.
Not me.
But that's only a mental thing.
Yes.
They say we could live in this body for 300 years if that's what we wanted. But it's not unusual to live well past 100 because the body is...
Well, you see that a lot now.
Yeah, the body is a miraculous machine. Went on to the Today Show, you know, when they have that one with the 100-year-old.
Right.
They said they have so many now that's coming in there. Used to be they had to go looking for them, but now there's so many of them. That they have too many that want to be on the 100-year-old celebration.
They're still going strong, you know. So, that's me. I'm gonna still be running.
Well, that's what they told me, that I'll be still writing when I'm around 100.
Right.
And I got a lot of books out there.
Hey, isn't that exciting? See, more books keep coming. Everybody's like, "Yeah, all right."
Everybody says, "When's the next book coming out?"
Right.
Yeah, I'm under a deadline now. They are pushing me.
Oh, do I have my little violin out?
Well, they've done this before. Because of our conference coming up in June, they want me to get this book out into the printer so I can have it there for the conference.
Right.
And so I'm really working on it every day and night. I write clear
into the
night.
You're
going to
make it. It's not any problem. You'll make it. Remember? Talk to it.
But I'm working on two because there's so much information. The next one, and I guess pretty soon now we're going to be sending out pre-orders.
Right, yeah. I'm saying that in a few weeks we'll probably start promoting it.
The Letting Netbooks, it's called The Three Waves of Volunteers and the New Earth.
Right.
Because when I've done the shows and the Project Camelot and all of that, everybody's so interested in that. They said, why didn't I take all the material I had and focus just on that? So that's what that book is going to be about. Then the other information is for convoluted form.
Right.
But that was where, over these years, I've been getting so much ET information that goes way beyond what anybody else is even thinking about. So that one whole section, I'm calling it UFOs, A Different Perspective.
Right.
Because there are so many different types. You can't just say now it's just one kind. We have the physical ones, they're just like us, you know.
Right.
They just have a body.
Form.
And they're all kinds of bodies. There are bodies you can't even imagine. They've told me in one of the books, it says if you could imagine balls on top of balls, three or four different balls, and that's a moving creature. It's just not something we would think was alive. Or triangles. Are things that we said couldn't possibly be alive is a different form of an entity. So a lot of these other ones that are combined, they talk. I had one emailer about reptilians. They're always worried about reptilians. And they said, we have a lot of reptilian in all of us because we're all a combination of all of these genes.
Right, right.
The reason people do this with reptilians is because of our natural fear of snakes that goes way back.
Exactly.
But that's just a different form. We developed the form that we have according to the primeval soup that was here on this earth when we were created. They just took the different genes and combined the different genes, and this is all in my book, so all that happened.
Right.
And the primeval soup, the chemicals and things in the atmosphere determined what kind of a body we were going to have. We're carbon-based. But there's some information in that put in the new book says we really are crystalline inside. And that this is going to become stronger as we move into the new earth, the crystalline base. And I couldn't understand that because I think of crystals, and they said, not the way you think of it. But
because I've been seeing, visualizing a lot. When I someone said something one time, and ever since then I've been seeing like a swirling it's like a swirling thing coming down into me, and it has a crystalline look to it. It's a beautiful blue shimmering, and it's like crystalline.
It could very well be because they said we're opening up to the crystalline part of us.
Okay.
But the
spiral, that was the word I was trying to say, spiral.
Spiral or
it's two
DNA, DNA.
Well, it's more like they're like two spirals there that are intertwined. It may be, but that's how it comes in. It's swirling and it's coming in.
Okay.
Yeah, spiral.
Because, see, they said you'd be surprised what you could have looked like. But our bodies are based, we went along the mammal line.
Well, didn't they say that the humanoid or the human structure
structure, yeah, of a torso, two arms and two legs and a head is the most popular form in the universe because it's very,
utilitarian.
Utilitarian,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's very useful, very functional, and so this is one that's repeated many, many times throughout the universe. It's just little variances in it.
Right.
But we were created along the mammal line, and other creatures and other races and other planets were created along the reptilian line or the insectoid line. So it just depends, and I've run across many in my works who are combinations of all those.
Right.
Maybe.
Like you said, it just depends on the environment that they're in as to what works.
And it's normal for them.
Mm-hmm.
They be half a reptile or half animal.
Mm-hmm.
Any combination is okay for that place they live in.
Right.
In one of the chapters in the book I'm working on now, the being is like plasma. And I keep thinking of the Terminator kind, you know.
Oh,
where
where he just...
shape shifts into anything he wants.
Right.
A hand can come out or a leg can come out.
Yeah,
but that
take
was,
on something, whatever's needed at that point.
Yeah, that was normal for that creature.
Right.
So who's to say it? Life comes in many, many forms.
Absolutely.
Just because it doesn't look right to us doesn't mean it's not right for that world.
Right.
You'd be surprised if you start traveling out into space like we're going to do sometime. People are going to find a lot of creatures that they won't understand.
Right.
But they're perfect for their own environment. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a lot more about that in my new book that's coming out, and that's what I'm trying to finish. Because there's a lot in there about where the three waves are coming from.
Right. Yeah, and that book will be out by the 1st of June, but we'll start doing a pre-order special on it probably here in a few weeks. We'll start advertising it.
Because we get so much mail where people are identifying with this three waves concept, why they don't want to be here, why they don't like it here, why they want to go home. But it tells a lot about the three waves and where they come from. And many of them do come from other planets.
Absolutely. Well,
because
they're needed to. I mean, that's what the whole mission was about. So
the whole thing.
Yeah, to raise the vibrations here so we can all ascend.
We can all. And that's what they said. You've got to learn to live together.
Mm-hmm.
Because how are you going to welcome them if you're having problems within the other races within your own human race.
Right, right. Where we all look basically the same, you know. We're all humans.
Okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour now, so we're going to have to leave. And I won't have another live show until April the 22nd after we get back from our trips. But you'll be playing archives. Anyway, thanks for listening tonight, and thanks for the callers that called in.
Yeah. Make it a wonderful day. Thank you.
What's left of it.
Well, then make it a wonderful week. Make it a wonderful life.
Okay.
So you're creating it. Create it.
Okay. Good night, everyone.
Good night.